2019 has been a tough year for farmers. Fortunately for landowners, farmland values are stable across much of the Midwest. But close to cities, encroaching development throws in a growing challenge for landowners and urban farmers. Harvest Public Media's Amy Mayer has more.
Oh, yeah. I'm good.
Tika Bhandari accepts a sample of lettuce grown in Des Moines in a plot of land Lutheran Services in Iowa secured for immigrant farmers. Bhandari says she and her dad wanted to grow ginger, the backbone of his business in Bhutan. But her dad passed away before they could make it work.
Almost 3 years, I'm growing some gingers in my greenhouse. I think my dad is looking from up and he is proud of me.
But Bhandari doesn't know where she'll grow her crops next year.
We are losing land.
Zachary Couture is the land and production specialist for LSI.
I actually just came from that other site in West Des Moines. That was sold. They're going to build a parking lot on it.
Throughout the region, farmland near cities is growing houses, restaurants, and parking lots. On the northern edge of Ankeny, a suburb of Des Moines, Lavon Griffoon has been witness to the creep for decades. She lures sheep toward her with corn in a bucket. A housing subdivision is visible just east of where we're standing. To the west, directly across the gravel road from her home, a large sign announces the coming of a Mid-American Energy substation. When Griffoon and her husband bought some land in 1982, they were still almost 3 miles from Ankeny. They paid $1,200 an acre. Now, land near hers is going for $8,000 to $10,000 per acre.
If a developer wants it, it's $25,000 to $50,000, depending on how big a chunk he's buying.
People sometimes comment that she could be wealthy if she sold. But she already feels rich. She says people around the world can only pray for such fertile ground.
Probably most of them don't even know such land would exist where you can plant a seed and it's going to grow. So it's ridiculous to be putting ticky-tack little houses on that.
She's resolute. She will not sell, no matter the price. Perhaps paradoxically, now that the farm is close to people with money to spend, the family's expanded into direct-marketed meat and eggs, in addition to row crops. Griffoon's children plan to continue the family farm. One exception, for 20 years or so, they've rented a small piece to Hmong farmers to grow vegetables. Lutheran Services hopes to forge a similar long-term relationship for displaced urban farmers like Tika Bhandari. West of Des Moines, Bob Winchell is the executor of his late wife's estate, which includes 25 acres of farmland.
I'm responsible for seeing that her wishes are carried out so that whatever happens to it in the future, it's maintained in agriculture. And that's the reason that I contacted SILT.
That's the Sustainable Iowa Land Trust, a nonprofit committed to preserving farmland. SILT connected Winchell with LSI, and some of the landless farmers have been out to see his wife's fields. Winchell had the land appraised and says in the decade or so his wife owned it,
it has shown almost a 300% increase in the value of the property.
That value considers something Winchell won't, selling to developers. Annual land surveys in Iowa, Nebraska, and other Midwest states reflect this development pressure. Iowa State University economist Wendong Zhang conducts the Iowa Land Values Survey. He says intentions don't really factor in.
It's because your proximity that you, although you are currently in crop or livestock production, that you have the potential to be developed into urban development. That will be translated, be capitalized into the land market.
Back in Des Moines, Zachary Couture closes the gate on a fence that LSI will try to salvage. Maybe next spring, some of the immigrant vegetable growers will reinstall it on Winchell's 25 acres. Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.